Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:51 Central African time. At that time of the morning, where we join Ahmed Parak on his segment, a straight talk with Ahmed Parak. People are really enjoying the segment. Perhaps he gets a 5-star rating for it. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a very cloudy Sunday morning. Alhamdulillah, Shafat. And Allah has blessed us with another beautiful day, Shafat. You know, every day counts today, Shafat, with whatever happening all over the world. We must make shukr that Allah has given us another day, Shafat.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And, you know, mashallah, at your age, you're still like a lighty, fit as a fiddle. Now tell me, you know, growing up as a beach boy, were you more on the soccer ground or used to do like me, you know, boats? I used to go and swim, join the Lifesavers Club, swim in the swimming pool, go to Tiger Rocks and go to Rivermouth, and then spend the rest of my day on the tennis fields, the soccer fields, and the cricket fields of Isipingo Beach. Tell me what you did most, Ahmed. Was it your swimming also? Are you a good, strong swimmer, Ahmed?
No, I'm not a very good swimmer, but I was, when Sunday mornings I used to go and play with the boys, you know, they used to play volleyball day. So we used to go and, I used to go and play with them in the morning and then take a walk and do a run. And then from 9 o'clock onwards, I'm right up to 5 o'clock till the last game, I'm in the grounds. Saturday and Sunday, from Saturday, 1 o'clock right up to 5, I'm in the grounds. Weekend and Monday, Wednesday and Friday, I'm doing training. So, Shafat, alhamdulillah, Allah's there, you know, a lot of teams, you know, we had Delta, the late Sam, Allah give Jannat, he from Delta Football Club. Then from there, we went to Juventus. And, you know, we really created an atmosphere for all our young footballers. You know, Adam Arbi was there. Tariq Khan came out from there. Fuad, all the Aku brothers. You know, we had a lot of players that we really groomed from there. And today, you know, they're still playing paddle tennis, they're playing indoor soccer. So all this all came out from Isipingo Beach. And, you know, we were fortunate our junior team reached the Clover Cup final that time. And in every single year, we was more or less taking every league, the juvenile league, the junior league, the Colts League, every league, even right up to senior, we used to come into the finals in most of the matches, most of the games in Isipingo Beach.
Well, you said it. I can correct you there. Sam made the club called Electra. Delta was a cricket club formed by Yusuf Wariawa, and that Sam's team was Electra. And then my team, when I was in school, I was in Standard 5, was the Dominic United. I mean, people like Gopi and all played for my team. I was 13 years old, and I used to be their manager. Can you believe it? And these are the things. That was the history before Sam and y'all. So I did it as a lighty. Then y'all came into it, and Nirmal Buddhu came into it, and y'all did the things. But alhamdulillah, you know, a source of reference in Isipingo Beach. We always had this capacity of being leaders and captains, Ahmed.
You know, even in Southern Natal, because Southern Natal used to look upon Isipingo IDFA, Isipingo Football Association, has the front runners in everything. Yet Chatsworth was much bigger. Durban Football Association was much bigger. But when it came to caliber of referees, caliber of players, Gopi Naidu came out from there. Adam Arbi came out from Isipingo. So most of the top players did come out from Isipingo Beach. So, you know, we were fortunate that we had the facility there. And at that time, those grounds were in tip-top conditions, Shafat. You know, that time, beautiful grounds we had. We had a nice tennis court. We had the swimming setup was very, very good there. You know, we had the infrastructure, and that's how we actually went and did things. Because today, you got all these electronic gadgets and all. Today, our youngsters are not prepared to go in the grounds and play football, go and do something because of various reasons today. But that time was, we used to go and play in the grounds. And, you know, if there was a cricket season, when the cricket was over in the evening, all of the boys used to get together. We used to play among ourselves and all, you know, put a side together. There was no goal mounts. We used to put bags there, whatever we had to do. And the game was on. That's how we actually grew up, that Shafat.
Absolutely, and our tennis courts had floodlights. We used to play till 2-3 in the morning. Alhamdulillah, that was so much for our growing up there. Going on and looking at the segment of Kafan Dafan, what's the latest on that, Ahmad?
Well, alhamdulillah, so far, alhamdulillah. Now we know we're coming to the silly season in the next 5 to 6 weeks now, and then every day the Damal will start with the road accidents and everything. Allah must make it easy, because there are a lot of visitors will be coming to our shores, because some of the beaches are starting to open up with blue flags now. So we, in the city, we are trying very, very hard to make sure that the pools in the beachfront are open. They have opened quite a few at the moment. So now, alhamdulillah, we're moving towards the right direction. So things are starting to happen at the moment. So let's hope that we get the visitors, because, you know, the last couple of years, we didn't have a lot of the Kaohsiung visitors in our shores here. And that's where we're losing a lot of revenue as well.
Looking at the message in the screen here, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Tariq. This is a time of the year where people also talk about the blood banks. I want to know, how safe are our blood banks, and is this monitored? Because Muslims and non-Muslims all give blood. But when it comes to blood, you cannot be picky and choosy like how we are for halal and haram. Ahmad, how do you respond to that message there?
So far as the blood bank is concerned, you know, one department, it runs like a well-oiled machine. You know, they have got this infrastructure in place, because, you know, you got people's lives at risk. So therefore, that department is always well geared up in terms of making sure whatever the A grade, B grade, C grade, whatever the blood they pick up, it goes through the right lab, it's been checked, and that's how the hospitals and a lot of hospitals depend on the blood bank. But the problem at the moment we are faced with, there is a shortage of blood at the moment. So that is a problem, because a lot of people are scared to give blood, because after whatever happened with COVID and all that. So this is a problem that we are faced at the moment. But, you know, among the white community, there's a lot of people still believe in giving blood, Shafat.
Jameel says, Assalamu alaikum, Brushaf and Ahmad. I enjoy the segment, Straight Talk. Must I be concerned about the type of people that control and patrol our mortuaries and do the autopsies on our Muslim people? I don't know how they treat the bodies, but Ahmad, you are the only person I think is keeping an eye on how Muslims are treated in these different facilities, or am I getting paranoid? How you respond to Jameel, Ahmad?
Shafat, Jameel shouldn't get paranoid, because what we have put in place nationally in terms of how we should be looking after the body in a dignified way, there are very, very stringent rules there. But Shafat, there is a problem for us, the overloading of the cold rooms there. There is no place. But fortunately for us, we Muslims, our body don't last stay in a morgue for maybe a day or so. Some in very, very rare case, you might have a body for 3 days or 2 days or whatever it is, unless they go on strike. You might have, like what happened in Cape Town, it lasted for about 10 days and there was a massive backlog in Cape Town. But yeah, in KZN, we don't have those issues unless there's a strike and there's no staff not going to be working, then only will our body lies overnight. But most times, our body comes in the morning, by the afternoon, the body is released. Or if it came late in the afternoon and the postmortem cannot be done, the postmortem will get done. In that case, even if they don't put the body in the fridge, it's okay still, because you're not going to have any issues or anything like that. But 9 out of 10, we don't have a problem, because the staff at the mortuary will not take body parts or anything to sell body parts or anything like that. And also, when they pick up from the scene of accident or they pick up from the hospital, now there's a law, you have to put it in a body bag before you even bring it to the mortuary. So it's a very, very stringent rule. And even when the hearse comes to pick up the Muslim body, it is always put into a body bag and put into the hearse. So far as all that is concerned, I don't think Jameel need to have any concern, not be paranoid or anything like that, because the stringent rules apply for not only for us, for everyone. We made sure that this is the way that has to be done, because you have to give respect to whichever body it is, and you, whatever you do, you'll have to do it in a dignified way.
8:05 Central African Time. The program is Consciously Connected. You're on the segment, Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmed Farouk. Lovely, cool, she's there, Ahmed. And Alhamdulillah, I'm looking at a message here on the screen which says, Assalamu alaikum, Bruce Chef and Councillor Ahmed Farouk. Please let us know what's the update on Ahmed and your chummy, A.B. Muhammad of Great Street Masjid. Yeah, any updates on how A.B. is feeling, Ahmed?
Shafat, the last, he sent me a message and I tried getting him. He was at the hospital. You know, he's taking injections in his eyes, and he had both his eyes had a problem. But from what his son has told me, he's really recovering well at the moment, but he's taking it easy at the moment.
Alhamdulillah, good. He's recovering. You know, Ahmed, you're looking at many things that are taking place in the country, but one of the things that you know, we have in the midst of throughout the provinces, we have a lot of Zimbabweans are working here, and many testify that they're very articulate, they speak good English, they follow your instructions, they're brilliant artisans and so forth when it comes to, you know, being home executive or the domestic maid, they make they're quite good at that also. But now the Zimbabwean exemption permit, the Minister of Home Affairs seems like he got a, he's wrapped over his knuckles and had to pay a certain amount of the application that he brought through, but he had to pay some from his own pocket or some of the expenses there that were accrued. What's the latest on the ZDP, Ahmed?
Shafat, I think the Minister of Home Affairs has not taken proper legal advice, and he implemented that all permits to be withdrawn, yet those permits were valid permits. Based on that, the judge made a ruling that they cannot, and he extended the agreement with our neighbors that for end of May, the agreement will come to an end. So that's where we are standing at the moment. But the problem that we are faced here in the country is, you know, they are coming free flow here. And you have seen EFF guys, they're actually making IDs, fake IDs for the Zimbabweans. So now, you know, the election is around the corner. I'm not sure how many thousands has been done. Now, how are we going to track all these problems that we are faced with? If you look at this morning's paper, just for 300 rands a month, get an illegal immigrant's SA wife. So you pay 300 rands a month, and you marry a South African woman here. And then they apply there because he's married in South Africa. So in terms of the law, you have to make all the applications and all that. The government will grant. So now that is a scapegoat that they're using as well. So this is, you get plenty. You got a lot of Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Egyptians and all that. They fake married. They got a black woman here in South Africa. They've just paid them. And that woman is happy because she's getting anything from 300 to 500 rand every month. Plus she's collecting pension or whatever it is. And this is how the game is going at the moment. So this is a problem that we have. The whole Home Affairs Department, the legislation has to be changed. We have to tighten up our belt in terms of all the borders, how they're coming into our country. It's like free flow at the moment, because you pay them at the border there. I know thousands of, you know, over the years, thousands of Malawians and Zimbabweans, they just cross the border, free flow. You just pay. I think the security officers there, and the Home Affairs officers, they just let them through. And, you know, once you pay, they will let them through. And this is a massive problem that we have got. You know, you go to any other country, they've got stringent laws when it comes to immigration and foreign nationals in their country. They can press off a button, they'll know how many is here, when their visas expired, when they have to go. They track you down very, very quickly. In South Africa, in the last, from 1994 to now, we got thousands of them. And if you say, our Muslim population is 2.2 million, we can be talking about 3.5 million, because you know, most of them that are here from foreign nationals, they say they are Muslims. So now how do you get a proper population, religious group to tell us exactly what our actual numbers are? So, you know, we have a massive problem in the country at the moment.
Look at the messenger from Faisal. He says, "Assalamu alaikum. I'm perhaps the most unpopular mayor Durban ever had, Kaunda." He said that during a media conference at Blue Lagoon, where he was reopening the Blue Lagoon pool that was closed in December last year due to sand blocking and the feces that were there. He says it will be opened. Why is it Durban always gets a ship-shaped only during the festive season, but for the rest of the year, it's a stinking cesspool? Quite a good observation from Faisal there, Ahmad.
Shabbat, you know, this is the only time they have to do something, because otherwise the name of the city is like in the mud already. If you take our city, our debt level is 10.5 billion. On Thursday, they were asking us to approve to borrow 1.5 billion from commercial banks at the interest rate of about 9%. Our investment fixed investment we have got is 9 billion only. So if you take 10.5 billion, that is the debt we have to pay, and you want to borrow another 1.5 billion, is 12 billion, and you only got 9 billion to offset. So you, technically speaking, the city and this municipality is insolvent. What they will do now, they will wait for end of June for the national government to give us 55 billion, then they will come out of it. The national government at the moment is in a bigger problem. They're looking for 15 billion to cover the debts for 23-24 year. So I don't know how they're going to find that. Now they are waiting, national government now waiting for February, when the Minister of Finance will make a decision. He's going to put one, fuel tax will go up. Your income tax will go up. Your rates will go up. Everything will start going up because they will have to catch up with the 15 billion. So this country is super rich. You got minerals, you name it. We got gold, coal, you got diamonds, you got oil, you got everything. Then how come we then battling for money? And yet we got beautiful areas, Cape Town, you got Durban, people are paying rate. If you take Musgrave alone, we pay 18 million a month only on rates in Musgrave area. You're looking at about, if you take that, with about just under 300 million a year only going for rates in one area. What about your Amstlanger, Durban North, Belito, all that area they've been paying? So we're collecting, so where is our money going? Yet, when national government gave us money for disaster management last year for the floods, 1.2 billion Shafat came into our coffers. Within less than a year, that money was returned. 300 million was given to us for low-cost housing, was returned. There's another 200 million was given for something else, for some disaster management. So in 1 year, we lost 2 billion that was returned back to the national government. The reason was they couldn't put their hands on that money. They didn't have a clue. Now they know the hawks are looking at them. The people, the councillors are looking at them. The opposition is looking at them. There is no way they would be able to put their hands. Chora mamas, they couldn't put their hands. So what happened in the process? We need money to fix up roads, potholes. We need money for electricity. We need water and sanitation. We don't have money, but yet we got the money. It was gone back to national government. So this is a massive problem. We got people in government, the worst of the worst city mayor that we have got in years. You know, I think Logie was much better than him. He can't make decisions. But city manager, as well as the mayor, they must make decisions. How his finances run. how his infrastructure is run. Everything, he must be on top of the game. The CEO is right on the top of a company. Everybody gives him information. When he gets the information, he executes. He says, right, this, that we have to do. So this is it. This is it. So there's no way we got people that we, if you read yesterday's Friday's paper, the city manager protection alone, one vehicle is 1.8 million. So far, it is unbearable when he's got three vehicles and he gets a salary of 360,000 a month and he's got three vehicles. How do you account to the community? You know, I'm in government now. You know, I'm thinking to myself, I went in the wrong time when the country is dead and buried. Now we're trying to fix the country. The only thing is our slogan is, let's fix South Africa. And that is the only thing we got to save here. We're going in there and we're taking them head on. And let's hope, inshallah, when the people start voting, we will get the numbers and we can at least make a difference because make it easier for the community in South Africa.
Yes, Zainul says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak and Brother Shafaz Ahmed Khan. I must tell you that I sold my palatial home in Westville just to invest it in my flat that's presently on the Durban beachfront. That was the worst investment I ever made. Now I'm living in a prison, marooned, and surrounded by filth and rogues and so forth. The same mayor, Ahmed Parak, he says that they are now testing water quality twice a week to make sure that the water quality is up to standard, and that if they are picking up something, they will be able to fix it up in time for the holidays. What about us that are drinking the water there in the beachfront, in those different flats and different places that we're living in? And what about those that are selling bottled water? Remember, Ahmed, they are making a lot of money. And how do we know that those bottled waters are really bottled waters or waters that still have a high level of E. coli? Our inspectors are compromised. Our officials are compromised. No, the whole country is compromised. Please, Ahmed, give me some advice that will at least bring sanity to this morning. How do you respond to Zainul there, Ahmed?
So as far as the water is concerned, yes, they are taking samples of water on a day-to-day basis. So that water is being tested. Whether they, you know, you're dealing with ANC government, that is the only problem. Whether they give you that the right story and the truth, that is to be, you know, I mean, Allah knows best. But the problem is, one thing we know for sure, that they do test the water. That's the only thing. As far as the bottled water is concerned, if you buy the water, bottled water, it's labeled, and if you get the bottled water from the right sources, that water is 100%. There's no problem as far as that is concerned. So I don't think there should be any fear as far as the bottled water is concerned. But if the bottle is, you need to make sure who that water is coming from. Must be a reputable this thing where you can, there's a track number there, there's serial number there, all that, you can track that water from which company it is. And once you do that, then I don't think you have a problem.
Ahmed, see, a lot of our messages are coming through. And this one, yeah, I don't know if you're going to answer it. It says, Assalamu alaikum, brother. He is your guest from Action SA. If so, we cannot vote for this party as Muslims. The stance is the same as Zionist DA. How you respond to Brother Hassan Mia?
So, Shafan, we made ourselves very, very clear from the very beginning that I'm just operation director of Action SA in the province, in KZN. The president was overseas and he made a statement that he's not taking side with Israel. He's not taking side with Palestine. He's standing neutral on this issue as far as this is concerned. We condone any killings in Palestine as what the Israelis are doing. That the statement was sent, and we sent quite a few statements in that regard. So a lot of people come to me. He said, Ahmed Parak, you know what? You are a sellout. You know, in our masjid on a Friday, when you're getting 1,200 people in Musgrave Masjid, I go to my office is right next door. Mandro Parak, you are a sellout because your Lani is siding the Jewish and Israel. I said, to read the statement. You know, people don't read. If you read the statement, yes, there was a tweet that went out. It has caused a big problem. That person from Action SA was reprimanded. That problem has been so resolved. But our stance is that we're not siding Palestine or we're not siding Israel. That's the stance, and that's where I'm standing at the moment. I've taken proper opinion with most of the muftis in KZN as far as this issue is concerned, that, you know, at one time I was thinking of stepping down. They said, no, don't step down, because end of the day, if you step down, bottom line is that issue is in Palestine, but we got major issues here in our country too. We need people like you to fight for the community, because, you know, you can't be fight. We got one battle we're fighting in Palestine, when we got another battle here. So somebody need to fight this battle as well. Based on that, I've got Mufti, two, three Muftis have given me the advice. He said, just hang in there and you have to do what you have to do. By you coming out is not going to solve any problem, because you still, Palestine issue is still carrying on. So that's where I stand at the moment, Shahad, that this is concerned.
JazakAllah khairah for that, Abad, and you know, you owe an open book, and Allah bless you for that, because you will find that, you know, being in public office and being a public figure, that you will be asked these questions, and you come on Markaz Sabah and all the other platforms purely as a commentator and as someone that wants to assist the Ummah, and as you said, in this world of politics, which is not a very clean game, you'll find all dirt being thrown around, and Allah protect us and save us. Abad, there's a question here. It says, it's from Ismail, and he says, Assalamu alaikum. Please warn our women folks not to go to the shopping malls alone, because just the other day, a lady was abducted, taken away, and her whole bank cleaned out. These criminals are very unscrupulous. And if you go out, make sure the men folks go out with you. Ahmad, I think that's a very keen observation from Ismail. Your thoughts?
Shafat, you know, in most shopping centers, they've got cameras, they've got, I believe, and it came through to my knowledge on Friday as well, they got a woman syndicate actually causing problems in most shopping centers, and they're targeting mainly the Indian community as well. But the shopping malls have tightened their security system there, and that is the reason why even when you drive in and you come out, there's a time delay because of this reason. But, you know, you will find that. But my personal view is, if you know, our woman folk wants groceries or anything, today there's an app, you pay 100 rands a month, unlimited, you get with the free deliveries, the unlimited free deliveries, you know, and I think that is the best way to get whatever you want, because within 60 minutes you got your delivery at your doorstep. And I think, you know, most chains are giving you that service. And in fact, personally, I don't even go to the shopping mall anymore. We pay that 100 rand a month, unlimited. The wife just phones and the grocery delivered. So, you know, that is the way we should be doing, because that way, you know, one thing we found was that by getting the 60-minute delivery to your doorstep, you are controlling your buying as well. Because, you know, when you go to a supermarket and you take your granddaughter or your grandson with you, you put this, you put that, things that you didn't require to, you put, now your budget, you can control your budget very, very, you can control your budget as well. So it is very important that, you know, you're getting it 60 minutes, one, you are safer to not going to the supermarket anymore, and you're saving money at the same time, Shafat.
JazakAllah khairah for that, Ahmad, as we look at more messages coming through. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan and Ahmad Parak. I really like the frankness that both of you conduct the show, and Allah bless you all for that. No hidden agendas. Please, Ahmad Parak, advise us concerning rates and taxes. Still, there are people talking about boycotting after what happened in Westville. Please reiterate that the money that sometimes we are trying to save, we end up paying triple what we are owing. Please, Ahmad, we appreciate you. Allah keep you. And may Allah make it easy for you in the type of work you're doing now. Ahmad, there's a lot of blessings coming for you, but your response to that question?
Firstly, I must say, I mean to what that brother said. Shafat, there's an amnesty till the end of 31st of December. Anyone has got problem with electricity, water or rates. There's special documentation. I will do it absolutely free of charge for them. They can come. My PA is trained to do the documentation. We got a set of, we print our own documents here. They can fill it. Only thing what they have to do is they can log it online, or they can have to go to the to Martin West, or which is the closest municipal offices to them, and log it. Once you got that reference number, number one, even if you were owing them 10,000 rand, they cannot disconnect you. That's number one. Number two, for the last 7 months, from April right up to now, there have been, because they didn't have meter readers, even yourself, Shafar, in Spingo Beach, they have not taken your meter reading for the last 7 months. So they were doing average reading. So what you need to do is, there's a form which you fill, and then they must give you the credit. They won't give you the money. Forget anyone thinking that, you know what, the municipal have overcharged me for my rates, light and water. Now I need my money because I paid them up front. Now I want my money. They don't have the money to pay you. I'm going to tell you that up front. You're not going to get the money. But what they will do is they will credit you. They will credit you whatever. They will work it out, and they will tell you, yes, you get credit from the 10,000. Your credit is 4,200. In the next bill, it will pay your 4,200. For the next couple of months, or I don't know what your bill is going to be, that thing gets offsetted from there. That is the only way. I had people 700,000, 200,000, 60,000, 40,000 every day coming. In fact, I had yesterday, a person came to me, not with one company, he came with eight companies to me. He said, "I'm advised, you're the only man. Somebody referred me to you. Can you help me?" And these were big amounts. In one company, there was 4 million. Some companies were 3 million. So, you know, he's got a massive problem there, but it was overcharged. And I showed him everything. I gave him the forms. I told him, fill that, do this, do that. So he phoned me last night. He said, "You know, I'm ready for you." I said, "Monday, you can come and see me. You log it, and then from there, we'll take it, and then we'll get all the credits and all that." There's a system in place there. The council is prepared to give you. And say you got a widow not working, she's collecting pension. They will give you incentive. There is policies for that as well. But the problem is, we Muslims, we don't want to go out there and go and get it. All the other communities, and they go and get it. But we don't. We say, "No, man, you know what, let somebody else do it well." You need to go there. You have to log all these this complaints. Once you do that, then you will get the concession. If you are a widow and you're only collecting, you're only collecting pension, so there's a grant there. So then you'll be exempted, totally exempted, because others are getting it. So, you know, your age counts. Maybe you're 75 or 80, and you're only depending on the 2,000 rand, and you have to pay your light and electricity bill for 3.5 grand. How are you going to come out? So there is grants for that as well. So you need anyone, whoever wants any assistance, absolutely free of charge. I will make sure, even if I'm busy, my office will help and get things sorted out for you. But we don't guarantee you that how much credit you want to get, because they got a different system of itemizing and working out the credit levels, and they were working out your bill, but you will get a credit. Because for the 7 months, they were taking average your reading. So if you need any assistance, anyone needs, Shafat, people know me. I'm with Action SA. They got my number. They can phone me, or they can come to my office. My office will help them and do whatever is to assist the community. We are there, whether it's what color, creed, race, religion, whoever comes to my door. A lot of white people are coming. Color comes to black community come. And I'm playing even out to Phoenix, Chatswood and all that. I'm putting up an office in shortly in Chatswood, where we will be able to log all the poor people's complaints there. You know, there's thousands of people there. We'll go to Amlazi, the same thing, go and help people where they need to be assisted, because they don't know, some of these people don't know how to read their account. As soon as they get their account, they have, poor people have to pay. That is the problem we face with Shafa.
Well, Ahmed, I tell you, you know what, quite helpful this morning. Your parting words before I let you go.
Shafa, next week, 18 and 19 is voter registration. very, very important. You can see what is happening at the moment. We need more of our people to go into government, to go and sort your people's lives out there. Who can fight for us? Don't worry about the money. Think about the community. Go and fight for the community. And what is right, go and take the government on to say, you know, this is service delivery, we want A, B, C, D. The voter registration is opening for 18 and 19 all over. All your polling stations will be open. If you have not registered, go and register. Then have a say in this country. And then you can say next year, you know, after the election, I have voted for Action SA. I voted for whoever. I'm not saying vote for me. Whoever you want to vote for. But by virtue of registering, you will have a voice. And the stronger the opposition, the better the government. And then we'll keep them in check for accountability, Shafar.
Jazakallah khair, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.